my mom was here, and she used to go for walks all the time, and she memorized all these psalms, and so when she was walking, she'd be reciting the psalms in her mind. Mm-hmm. And so when I told her that I was thinking about translating the Old Testament sheet of psalms, she said, oh, can you translate all my favorite ones? So she gave me a big list, like 27, 100, one, you know, not 119, that was not on the list. but all her favorite ones, so I started doing that. And then as I was doing it, I thought, you know, it's so hard to decide if you should use this word or this word. You know, there's multiple definitions for words, right? So I said, well, I'm just going to do it like the Amplified version, where you put in the brackets like some alternative ways to say it. So that's how this evolved.
Oh.
And over the years, I, you know, started going methodically through, and I probably got up to like 35 or something, and then quit for a long time. But last year, I decided that that's what I really wanted to finish. And then I started learning some really wonderful things about it, how the Hebrew is a little bit different from what it's translated from. And so I'll just read you Psalm 23, because I think I put it on the back. This is the book. I don't know if you can see it. Can they see it?
Sure.
Pretty good?
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. It's in hardback and paperback. You can get it on Amazon or on my website. But I think that the flavor of it is what is unusual. It's like it's got the Hebraic type of flavor in it. And so when you read King James, it's so beautiful, so many things that we have said throughout the years to, I don't know, like even Psalm 100, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. You can quote the King James, right? But so when it's something a little bit different, it makes you stop and think and go, oh, is that what it really means? You know? So here's Psalm 23. The Lord will shepherd me, and I will not lack anything. And he will settle me in lush meadows, and he will lead me by quiet waters. Like, he will do that, right? And then the part about he restores my soul is he has turned towards me and has led me on paths of faithfulness. Mm. Like, he turns towards us and then say, come along. Come on, little sheep. I'll show you the way. Because of your name, even if I would walk in shadow valleys, I will not fear death from the evil one, because you are with me. Your rod and your staff comfort me. You have arranged a table in front of me opposite my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil, and my cup is satiated with living wine. It's full to the brim. Your goodness and your compassion have followed me all the days of my life. That's really true, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
So that I will live in the house of the Lord the length of my days.
Oh, that is precious.
Yeah, and so anyway, it's available to get, and hope you get blessed with it. This leaving this with Bob and Jeannie so that you can take a look. So since you've been talking about love, I actually did a teaching at Joyfest in Houston about a month ago, and there was a lot of teachings that, during that time. It was a big camp, and we had multiple teachers, but I got to teach about worship and also about love, and so I thought I'd share with you some of the things that I taught there. Love, and so I'm also going to talk about both the Hebrew and Aramaic word pictures. And if you've heard me talk about word pictures before, that's great. But what they are is you take each letter of the old, like the old Hebrew alphabet, means something. The picture means something. So when you put the letters together and what they mean, then you get a lot deeper sense of what the word actually is talking about. Because like in English, like, for example, if I just say, tell me the definition of meekness, what would you say?
Of what? Coachable.
Meekness.
Coachable.
Coachable, okay.
Humble.
Humble.
Receptive.
Yeah.
Receptive.
Receptive. So then I would go, okay, what does humble mean? You see, in English, we always try to make just other definitions or synonyms to try to explain what we're talking about. But you don't have really any kind of foundation of what that is talking about and what it means. So in terms of meekness, the action underneath meekness in both Hebrew and Aramaic is to lie down flat or lie down under. So when I talk about, when we talk about being meek to the word or being meek to God, it's you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and he will lift you up. Wow. He will give grace to the humble. Mm-hmm. Those who put their lives under his authority, under the word. Because receive with meekness the engrafted word, right? So there's different things you can be humble to. But just that simple explanation gives you an idea of what meekness is really all about. So that's the same thing with love. Love starts with God. There's, you know, says that God is love and in him is no darkness at all.
Amen.
So what about if I ask you, what do you think of when you hear the term to love, like the verb? What does to love mean? Because that's what I'm going to be talking about. So I want to get your ideas first.
Care for.
Care. Okay, care for. What else?
Preferring.
Preferring. Preferring one another in love. Oh, that's a good one.
Cherish.
Cherish. I love that. I'm going to actually talk about that one.
It's an action word, so it's the giving.
You can't have love without giving, right? Yeah.
Compassion.
But see, now we're starting to put synonyms again, see?
Yeah. To accept.
Accept. That's a good, yeah, because that's a verb too, right? So to give, to accept. So you're getting the idea of how to do this, okay? So with God, remember, you could turn to it if you want to, at Romans 5:6. The thing about love is that the basic foundation of it's received before it's given. You have to receive love in order to be able to give. So that's what Romans 5 talks about here. Now, verse 6, I'm going to read from my Aramaic translation too, so it's a little bit different. Now, if Christ at this time, because of our weakness, died for the ungodly, for seldom does anyone die for the ungodly, right? Although for good ones, perhaps some would dare to die. But here, God has manifested his love that is toward us, because if when we were sinners, Christ died for us, then it goes on, right? What does it keep going and saying? If when we were sinners, Christ died for us,
Much more, justified by his blood, shall be saved.
Right. So, it took God's love, sending Christ first. Then Christ had to decide that he would give his life for us, so that then God could provide salvation. Much more. It's a much more kind of thing. Come on in.
Hey,
Charlie. Excuse me.
So God loved us before anything. He provided and he had it in his mind that he was going to send his only begotten son to be our salvation. That was his idea. And before we ever knew anything about him, right? Okay, so it's always God first. And also from 1 John, because God is love, and everyone who does not love does not know God. You can't know what love is until you know who God is.
Amen.
So that's when it talks about love your neighbor as yourself, like that's the, you know, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, right? But then love your neighbor as yourself. How can you love your neighbor if you don't receive the love from God first? And that's a problem with people, because they try to love somebody without really believing that God loves them. So that's the first thing we teach, is God loves you, and he called you, and he loved you before you ever loved him back. So there's three things that I think the word pictures show. One is that love cherishes. Love brings rest. And love guards or protects. The first picture I'm going to talk about is the Aramaic word, and it's pronounced Kuba, or Kuba, K-H-U-B-A. Kuba, that's the noun, and the verb is Kav, K-H-A-V, like V as in Victor. The action behind it is to kindle like a fire. So I get this picture of, you know, when you kindle a fire, you don't start out with a giant log and just light the match and expect it to blow up, right? No. You have to take some little kindling and you, you know, put it in your hand or you put it in a little bowl or whatever, and then you light that first and then you blow on it like to get it started, right? And then you put it on the big fire, even then you still need some little twigs to get it going, right? Absolutely. So love does that. It gently blows on the fire to get it going.
Wow.
And the idea of the cherishing has to do with, so the two letters are, the first one is K, which is a fence or a wall. And then the second one is a bath, which is a house, or it means the family. So love, in its simplest definition, is the fence of the family. Like God sets a fence around us, like a protection, but it's also to draw everyone who's inside that fence together to be in the family. When I first learned this, I had a wonderful experience with it, where I was at a women's conference and somebody had just lost their sister and really suddenly, and was very grieving, and it was so sad. And so we put her in the middle and we all surrounded her, and everybody was touching everybody else, like on your shoulder, you know, so it could reach to her, because there was about 60 women there. But we made a big circle like a fence. And I said, okay, we're surrounding you with the love of God.
Yeah.
And this love will now start to communicate from all of us to you to comfort your heart. Because comfort comes from God, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just like love comes from God. And then we prayed over her and, you know, ministered to her and stuff. But that picture of surrounding a person that really has a need like that, that's what the love of God does, is it cherishes. And a related Hebrew word, this is a related word, is actually the word for bosom, where you draw someone into your bosom, you know, it communicates that kind of cherishing. Like you're close. I want you to be close. I want to help you with whatever it is that you need. And that's what God does for us, is he surrounds us like a big family, but it's also very individual. Like, he just loves you, Bob. And you could be the only one, and it would feel like you're the only one. And yet you're in this gigantic family, too. And he loves everyone the same. And that's what's so astounding, is there's millions of Christians all over the world, and he loves them the same exact way.
Cool.
And he wants to draw us to him,
mm-hmm.
to cherish us like that. There's that picture in the Old Testament, but He carries the lambs in his bosom and gently leads those who are with young. Well, that's the kind of cherishing that the Lord is my shepherd. Mm. I will not lack anything. So on the picture, there's different things. My my daughter-in-law actually did this drawing. My daughter-in-law, Jenna, who lives in Colorado with me, she did this picture a long time ago. But that's the pictures of the letters, the Kaith and the Beth. And then she drew all around it all the things that love does. Mm-hmm. So love holds each other close. It tends to one another, comfort one another, and you kindle the flame in one another. So like,
oh,
that
nice.
That's cool.
Isn't that neat? It's such a beautiful picture.
Yes.
So when you read those verses now, like from John, you know, during the end, right at the end of Jesus' life, from John 14, 15, 16, a new commandment I give unto you, be loving one to another. As I have loved you, you should also love one another. Because that's what Jesus did to his disciples, too, was he gathered them, right? And then he nourished them, and he cherished them, and he taught them, and he did that same thing. As I loved you, you should love also one another. And when you read the phrase one another, it just literally means one to one. So each person that's in our lives, we can go one to one, and we can do the same kind of cherishing, no matter who it is, no matter where we go, no matter what's surrounding us, right? So there's lots of verses about love. You can apply the same thing to every one of the verses in the New Testament. So the second thing is that love provides and it brings rest. So this is the Hebrew word picture, which is a little bit different. Usually they're quite close, the words are quite close from Hebrew to Aramaic. But in this case, it's spelled a little bit different. So I told you in Aramaic it's spelled K with a B. Okay, in Hebrew it's A-H. B, so Ahav. A, it stands for God. Aleph is the word for God, or the strong one. And then the hey is a picture where you throw your hands up like this. Hey! And it means to behold, or what is revealed. So the strong one is revealed, and then the bay to the family. So the strong one is revealed to the family. With love. See, in the Old Testament, they didn't know who God was. They didn't really know that much about how he was love. They saw him as a protector and a guide and, you know, the one who gave the law and all this stuff, but it wasn't so personal like it is today. But what God did do in the Old Testament is he did reveal that he was the provider. He was the one who would bring them rest. If they followed his law and his word, they would have rest. And so, you know, obviously when they didn't follow it, they got in deep doo-doo trouble. Right? But he wanted to show them his love by showing them, you know, how he protected them and would guide them. So the verse I wanted to look at is Zephaniah 3:17. I just love this verse because it's God. It's sort of a model. It's a model of how God is love and also how he shows his love. And this is reading from the ESV. It says, "The Lord your God is in your midst."
What? Where are you at?
3:17, Zephaniah. Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. Okay? A mighty one. See, he's the strong one. He's the mighty one. He's the one that we can rely on in every situation because he's the Lord God. He's not changed from the time that he revealed it in Genesis. Till now, he doesn't change. So he is the strong one. He's the one that everyone can rely upon. But he wants to save everybody. He will rejoice over you with gladness.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa.
That's good.
Okay. And then he will quiet you by his love. He will bring you rest. He will quiet your heart. Because when we really understand how much God loves us and how he is the one who will be the protector, he's the one who will be the provider, then you can rest in that. It's no longer a business of, I'm going to make it, I can do it, I'll just work harder, you know, I can be strong. I'm like, no, sorry. I don't think it works that way. But when we do rely upon him to be the strong one, then we don't have anything to be afraid of, right?
You know, we see that in athletics, if I can
share
a little bit. If you play on a team sport and you've got a superstar and that superstar is really performing, everybody else kind of, oh, whew, you know, we've got Michael here. He's going to make the difference. And you really get, you rest, you're comforted, you're at ease. The superstar is on our team, and he is making it happen. Yeah, I really can see what you're saying.
Yeah, so it really is Jesus Christ, the superstar. You know, he's our big brother, but he's our example because he was a man, and he went through everything that we go through, and he was tempted in all things, so he understands our hearts. He knows the things that we need, and so does God, obviously, but they work together to provide for us and to bring us into that place of rest. And Hebrews talks about how, you know, if the law had been able to give them rest,
right,
it would have. But it never did, because it was a schoolmaster to show what God wanted to do, but it never was possible to actually have that full rest. And for Israel, there is going to be a future rest for them during the millennial kingdom. But God provided that for us now, that we can have a complete rest in Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
Because of what he accomplished.
Mm.
And if you just meditate on that for even 5 minutes, it like changes your life. Because it stops the striving. That's what I see. It just stops the trying. I gotta be better. I gotta renew my mind better. I gotta study better. I gotta, you know, I need to work harder. I was like, no, you need to rest. No, it doesn't mean we don't work, obviously, but we rest in his love and care, and then the striving or the work part of it is easy. Because we're holding his hand all along the way. It's what the Psalm 23 is talking about. See, he turns toward me and he leads me in paths of faithfulness. I don't have to even figure out what those works are as long as I'm just following the Lord's lead. And I'm holding tight to his hand and go, okay, I don't know which way to go here right now. Is it this or is it this? And he's going, no, it's neither one of those. How about over there? Go, oh great, I can see that one. And you just, then it becomes a life of rest and not just peace, like per se, like where there's no strife, but complete rest.
Jen,
yeah.
Something?
Yeah.
I heard a song this morning, I think it was called I Need Jesus, and one of the lines was, he took away my shame.
Yes.
And I think when we realize, you know, we are free from all that. We don't have our burden down anymore.
Yeah.
So then we can rest.
Yeah, and it's also kind of like a picture of a child being in a storm. You know, if you kids or even now, if there's a huge storm, lightning and thunder, and in Colorado, it can get a lot of lightning going and stuff. And you look out there, but that's the part about in Zephaniah about he will quiet you with his love, because as a child we can go running into the arms of our father Mm-hmm. And just be comforted, like, it's okay. The storm might be going on around you outside, but you're safe when you're here with me.
Mm-hmm.
He will quiet you by his love.
Mm-hmm.
And
sweet.
So the same thing happens when we're talking about loving other people, too.
Mm-hmm.
As we do this, we be imitators of God as dear children. You
mm-hmm.
open up your arms like this and say, come on in,
mm-hmm.
not only to be cherished, but also to be protected and to be shielded and rest. There's a place of rest there, right? And when you have a really wonderful friend or family that are like that, like my family was here, and we haven't seen each other for 6 months or so, and yet all the kids are like running. I'm running. Grab you like this. I can't. I'm just like, missed you so much. But they're always in our hearts, too, even if we're not together. And like you have children and you guys have children that are far away. But they always stay in our hearts like that. And I see that's how God does it. He never forgets about us. He doesn't go, oh, well, you know, 6 months will go by. Maybe I'll talk to you later. No, he's always right there. You wake up in the morning. Are you there? Yeah, I'm here. So on the picture there, it's like love looks to the needs of one another. We forgive one another. And we always look out for the good for the family. I was thinking about this too, like 1 Corinthians 13.
Mm-hmm.
Now abideth faith, hope, and charity. But the greatest of these is charity, right?
Mm-hmm.
For the love of God. And you go, well, why is that the greatest? Because faith and hope are pretty important.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have either one of those, you're kind of suck. But what I was thinking about was, first of all, in Galatians chapter 5, verse 6, it says, for in Christ Jesus neither is circumcision anything nor uncircumcision, but faith that is matured or energized by love.
Mm-hmm.
Faith is always energized by love.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't have faith without love.
Right?
Because love, the love of God, really receiving the love from God and knowing who you are in Christ will energize your faith.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't have faith first. And then the same thing with hope. 2 Thessalonians 3:5. And the Lord will direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ.
Mm-hmm.
If you have love and you receive the love that God has for us, you really receive it deep in there, it will bring you patience to hope for whatever is going to come in our futures. And I call them mini hopes, too. You know, we have all kinds of hope. Hope is not just the hope of Christ's return. Because I've heard a lot of people say that, you know, I'm just waiting until Christ returns. Yeah, well, what are you doing in the meantime? Because you can hope right now. You can hope in everything that's happening, like that there's going to be deliverance, that there's going to be answers, that there's going to be just situations that get worked out because God is on your side.
Mm-hmm.
There's that great song that Sal does
mm-hmm.
About Jehoshaphat. You know, God is on our side. What can stand against us?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. Not unless we give up on the love of God. See? Then it doesn't yield the patient waiting that it should. So if you see somebody who is discouraged, which there's a lot of people in this world who are, what can we do to help them? The first thing is we can show them that we love them and lead them into the love of God. But then that love of God will lead them to have hope and faith. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
So the third thing then is about love guards and protects. And on the paper it's talking about love puts a shield around you and love guards you. But I was thinking about this verse in Psalm 17, verse 8. You can turn there if you want to, because this one's kind of cool.
Psalm 17,
verse 8. says, keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings. So we're talking about love guarding or shielding. And it's the picture of the pupil. The word apple there means pupil. So keep me as the pupil of your eye. And what our eyelids do, like we have, the way God designed our eyes is he made the eyelashes, right? And then he made our eyebrows too, and the eyelids, to protect the pupil. So if, you know, even a strong wind comes up, you automatically shut your eyes. Or if there's dust in the air, right, your eyelashes filter out everything. And then even the eyebrows, they don't allow sweat to come down and get into your eyes. That's how God, why did God make eyebrows? Wow, I didn't ever think of that. Yeah, it's so that it would protect your eyes. And that's how he guards us, too, is that he keeps us constantly in his sight. But if something comes against us or tries to get to us, he immediately is like our eyelid to like, stop. So I'm going to protect my own. Keep me as the pupil of your eye.
Yeah.
That's what God does, is he guards us like that. And it's so that's the same illustration of being under the shadow of your wings, mm-hmm. which is a more common way to understand, like the mother bird sheltering his babies and stuff like that. But I love the idea of the pupil. The other thing about the pupil, too, is that when you look into someone's eyes and they have Christ in them, right? You see a little man in their eye. You see the reflection of you in that person's eye.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's like a little man. It is. It's like a little man in the person's eyes. And so when a person has Christ in you, the reason why we recognize that is because we recognize the Christ in that other person. And then we go, oh, I know that you have Christ in you too. Because it's like, I know you. I recognize you.
That's
and that's the same thing with God too, is he knows who his children are. He knows that we're part of his family. And he never lets us out of his sight. He's that big a God. So I think when I think about the love of God, the biggest thing I think about, like you can read all of 1 Corinthians 13 and see all the different characteristics of love. But the biggest one in that whole passage is verse 8, where it says, love never fails. And it means that love never falls to the ground and does nothing. It always accomplishes something. And when we really receive the love that God has for us, then we understand how we can turn around and love others. We can blow gently on them. And then if we really also know how that he loves us that much, then we can rest in that kind of care. And then not be striving, not be bowled over by whatever the world has to say. And then we know that he's just going to guard us and protect us in every way possible. So if you feel like you're not being guarded, then it's like, okay, I need a big dose of God's love here. I need to go read all those verses that talk about how much he cares about me, and not get discouraged, not buy into what the world says. So just end with Ephesians 5, verse 1 and 2. We love one another not because we're so strong, but because he loved us first. And this is the New Living Translation. I really like this translation. It says, imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ, because Christ gave his life to us when we were sinners, right? He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us. That's because love is always giving, always offering. And it's a pleasing aroma to God. Every time we love one-to-one, or one-to-a-group, or one-to-a-whole-huge-group, then we're showing who God is, that he is love, and he is the one who loved us first. And we can turn around and love each other the same way.
Thank you very much. Do you want to close with prayer?
Sure, yeah. Oh, Father, we are in awe of you, of how much you do love us, and also how you called every single one of, not only everybody here, but all your children all over the world. And we're so grateful to be a part of this gigantic family where each one is special, each one has something to contribute. And you know our hearts better than anybody. So you know exactly where we're supposed to be and what we're supposed to do at any time. So we're just reaching out right now to hold on to your hand and let you lead us, and let you lead us in those wonderful paths of faithfulness. Because you are the faithful God. You are the one who is all love. And so we honor you. We praise you. We're thankful to you today. Thank you for the opportunity to be together in all the different places that everyone is meeting, whether it's today or tomorrow or this week. Just bless your family. And we look forward to the day when we can be with you and with the Lord forever. And it's in his name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome to hang out and fellowship. And, it's a beautiful day. And
beautiful.
One thing we... Huh?
Beautiful day in the neighborhood.
And we'll just continue to love on one another, huh?
Amen.
With this wonderful love of God. That is so cool. Really good. Any thoughts?
It just reminded me of something I did yesterday. I was doing yard work all day long, so if I walk around slow, understand that. I was a backbreaker. But in the process, by the time I rolled around to do the front yard, which is like 3 hours after I spent the back, I noticed the mail person, the carrier coming by. It wasn't our regular mail carrier. It was a young lady. And I said, I'm going to say hi to her. She's in the same company as me. So she stopped first. She goes, hey, you having a good time? I said, yeah, kind of. And I said, so you're not our regular carrier? She goes, no, I've only been here like 10 months. I said, oh, so someone stick with it, and they'll take care of you. They really will. And I said, I've been with the Postal Service for quite a while now and stuff. And she said, oh. And I said, so that you have help, I said, I'd like to pray for you. Oh, yeah. She was, I go to the Rock. I said, okay. But she said, but not the big one, the one in El Cajon. It's smaller because we're talking about being more intimate with the believers. So I said, let me pray for you. So I prayed for her success and all that. She had sunglasses on. And she kept them going like to her face. And finally, she goes, oh, the hair just stood up on my arms.
Yeah.
And she goes, I'm sorry if I'm crying. I said, it's okay. They're tears of joy, right? She goes, yeah. I said, but you know why? I said, because God loves you. That you're walking by my house, that it's at this time, is not a coincidence. God brought us together. He goes, I believe that. So I said, that's one way of expressing God's love, is when you stop and pray for people. Why do you do that? I trust you're inspired by the love of God to give them the love of God. So she was totally blessed and stuff. And she says, your name is Al? I said, yeah, her name is Elizabeth. I said, okay, if I see you again, I'll know your name. She said, I know your name. So I said, God bless your wonderful heart. And remember, there's only one Elizabeth in this whole world. So go make a difference.
That's cool.
Yeah.